Acts chapter 20, please. And we'll read in at verse 17. Acts 20, verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, I know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you all at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept not back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And then he goes on to give advice to the elders who have come to see him. And then if you will just jump down now to verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. This is in many ways a sad portion of scripture, in that it is the last time that Paul is going to be speaking and talking to the Ephesians, the last time he's going to be fellowshipping with them, and he's going to be taken by people when he gets to Jerusalem, and he's going to be bound, and he's going to start a series of trials, and he's going to enter another phase of service, because God had promised that he was going to come before kings and people in high positions and bring the gospel to them. But for that to take place, these things had to happen to him. So let's consider this man Paul, because he had a remarkable service for the Lord. And there are things that we can learn from the characteristics of his service. And we can ask ourselves, does this apply in my service for the Lord? Can the Lord see this in me? Now he's come and he's called the elders from Ephesus to come about 40 miles down from Ephesus, down to where he is at the seashore. He's waiting for another boat to come, and he's going to get on the boat and continue on his journey towards Jerusalem. It says that he was in a hurry to get to Jerusalem. He wanted to get there by the day of Pentecost. This seemed to be an objective for him. And so they come, and he begins his exhortations to them. He's wanting to encourage them to stand fast for the Lord. He's wanting to encourage them to take a stand in certain issues that were either going to come up or had even possibly come up in their midst. But before he does that, he gives an explanation of his ministry and what he had done and why he could be a leader for them, why he could be instructing them, because there was something substantial in his life that was an example so they could listen to him and they should heed what he had to say. So he says, "Ye know from the first day that I came into Egypt that after what manner I have been with you at all seasons." So he had been with them for almost 3 years, if you add up the total amount of time that he was with them, going in and then going to other places and coming back and teaching them again at Ephesus. And he'd spent a long time there at Ephesus. He was well known to these saints. But he says, "I've been with you at all seasons." So they observed Paul when he was having great success in the work of the Lord. They observed Paul perhaps when there was discouragement and there were difficulties. But he had been with them and he'd been an example to them under every condition and every circumstance. You know, sometimes we can get discouraged and maybe it gets us down a little bit and we aren't able to help out as much as we should because our spirits are down. Maybe we get enthused about things and we're ready to do much for the Lord, and that's wonderful. But with Paul, it was sort of an even keel. He was the same way in all seasons, under all circumstances, and he was consistent. He says, serving the Lord with humility of mind. So first of all, it's important to note that he was serving the Lord. When he went out, it wasn't for his own advancement. It wasn't for anything that he could achieve from it. It wasn't so that he would have a famous name amongst the Gentiles or amongst the churches in Asia. He did it out of service for the Lord. He was following the Lord's direction. He was committing his time totally to the Lord. And how did he do it? He did it with humility of mind. You know, sometimes you can read what Paul wrote and you think, well, Paul must have stood out above everyone and Paul must have been the authority and presented himself as the authority. But Paul went amongst the assemblies and he went in trembling and weakness to some places, as we read. He went as one who could barely see because he had that problem with his vision. He said in one place that he wrote with a large letter. He went with a weakness of the flesh. He had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was, but it was something that made him dependent upon the Lord. And so when he went, it wasn't in the strength of his own self. He went with humility of mind. He went with humility, recognizing that he was fully dependent upon the Lord to give him strength. No, that's the way the Lord wants us to go. Not to have a self-confident spirit and to think that we have all of the answers and we'll deliver on everything. He wants us to go with a recognition of our weakness, wants us to go dependent upon him. It says he came with many tears. And if we look for Paul's attitude, we find that there's a real intensity of emotion in Paul. He doesn't come as a callous person. He comes with an interest in every individual, a readiness to shed tears where tears need to be shed. And he shed tears, as we find that in verse 37, and they wept sore and fell on Paul's neck. He was one who received the love of others. He was one that showed the love to others, the love of God to others. And he did it with compassion and intensity. Sometimes we maybe live our lives, and I look at myself, and there isn't really that intensity of emotion, perhaps. But the Lord is desirous and is able to use that intensity of emotion. He served with many tears. Served with tears when he saw their rejection of the word of God. One place he says, "For out of much affliction and great anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears." That's in Corinthians he writes that. So he wrote to the Corinthians, he wrote an epistle of the 1 Corinthians, and he did it not just because he saw this as what God's commands were for them, but he wrote it with many tears because he really wanted the things that were not correct in the assembly, to be straightened out. He said he wrote it not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love I have more abundantly unto you. Now, if a person has tears in their eyes when they're saying something to you, you listen to them because you know that there's emotion and a love there. And so Paul had that emotion and love as he communicated to his brothers and sisters in the things of the Lord. Then he said, in many trials, that would be the word for temptations here, and which fell on me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And if we had read this portion just earlier, even earlier in this chapter, we would find that the Jews had a plot to kill him. And the religious Jews were always after Paul. They would like to have done away with him, done away with his influence. And they sought to trip him up, and he would be aware of their hatred of him. And yet he was courageously moving on to be a testimony. And he was willing to do that, even in the face of the dangers that he experienced. Sometimes, you know, we see a little danger on the horizon, and we might say, well, I don't want to go there. It's too, I might get criticized, or I might have some problem. Somebody might take me to task. Maybe it's in the work situation. I might get ridiculed in front of other people, and we don't step out as we maybe should. That wasn't the case with Paul. He was courageous, and even if there were people lying in wait for him, he was ready to go forward, but letting the Lord lead him, because that would keep him from the trouble. It says, in terms of his preaching, he's now talking about how he preached. He said, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. So here is Paul, and it doesn't matter what the circumstance is. He's ready to teach them what he understands the will of God for them is, what he understands the word of God tells them about the particular situation. And he's not holding anything back. He's not saying, well, these brethren don't think very highly of this particular thing, so I'm going to downplay it in my preaching. No, he spoke the whole truth. There was no limitation in what he had to say. He kept nothing back that was profitable for them. And that's something that God honored in his preaching, that he was completely straightforward, and whatever God revealed to him, he conveyed to others. And it says he showed you, that is, he preached to them and have taught you publicly and from house to house. So the idea of showing is preaching or proclaiming. So he proclaimed it. He proclaimed it publicly. And they didn't necessarily have large auditoriums like we have here to proclaim it. But he would proclaim it when he was out in the marketplace. He would proclaim it wherever there were people around. He'd proclaim the gospel to them, no hesitation. And he also did it from house to house. Now, we proclaim the gospel in the building here, but in the Ukrainian outreach has given us an opportunity to proclaim it in other places. And there's a scripture here for proclaiming the gospel in that way publicly. And there's also scripture here for proclaiming it on a individual or a couple by couple basis, proclaimed it from house to house. There are some things and issues that would be dealt with on a family basis or on an individual basis. And he proclaimed the gospel, he taught them the word of God on an individual basis. There are other times when the gospel and the teachings of the Lord have to be presented publicly, and that's suitable for everyone. But there are some subjects, perhaps, that are better done in the privacy of a home. Now, when he was proclaiming the gospel, and this now is focusing on, the next verse is focusing on the gospel, he says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So what was the gospel message that he proclaimed? He proclaimed two things. He proclaimed the need of man, repentance toward God. All sin is against God. And God is a holy God. And every person who is born into this scene has to give account for how they've lived their lives before a holy God. Sometimes, you know, we almost assume that repentance is something that's there, and people are ready to put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we emphasize the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's wonderful. We want to honor him. But people have to come to that point where they recognize they have a need for repentance. So people need to repent towards God, and then the Lord Jesus Christ has more meaning when he's presented to them. They see him as the one who meets their need, and they put their faith and trust in him. So Paul here is giving his philosophy about gospel preaching, and it's a philosophy that we should have as well. Salvation involves repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, interesting that he says he gives this message to the Jews and to the Greeks. The Jews would say, well, we live righteously. We live in a way that God is pleased with us. At least they might deceive their hearts in that way. But in actual fact, they needed to repent towards God just as much as anybody else. The Greeks would have a whole range of idols or gods, small g, that they would look to and worship. But they needed to recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ was the one who had come from heaven to provide man with salvation. He was the Son of God. And they needed to put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ if they were going to have salvation. Notice his full title is used here, Lord Jesus Christ, faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. So those things were important. And as a result, of course, as the Jews heard him preaching to the Gentiles about the Lord Jesus Christ, and as he preached about sin, both groups would be upset with him, and both groups wanted to get him. But he was courageous and moved on. Now we come to verse 22, and it says, but now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that should befall me there. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ went to Jerusalem. And when he went to Jerusalem before being crucified, he knew every detail that was going to befall him. And he went without hesitation. He went ready to endure everything that would be upon him. But here we have Paul, and he's bound in spirit to go unto Jerusalem. Now, he's made a vow some time ago, which seemed to be a Jewish thing. We don't know the content of the vow. It is quite probable that he was going to fulfill that vow, and that's why he was so adamant about getting there by Pentecost, the day of Pentecost. Some say, well, maybe he was taking funds to the poor people in Jerusalem from some of the other assemblies. Well, that may be true. Others could have done that work, but this seemed to be something that was uniquely directed at Paul. And he said he was bound in the Spirit. He might have liked to have changed, but he couldn't change. He was bound by it. And everywhere he went, as the next verse says, the Holy Ghost was witnessing in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions awaited him. He was going to be bound. He was going to be afflicted. He was going to be taken into the judgment hall and into the prisons. And these things were witnessed by the Holy Spirit. He didn't know the details of it, but he was ready to go. And I guess that's a challenge for us, isn't it? When we have something impressed upon our spirit, that there may be difficulties ahead, and that we should maybe turn around, we should maybe change our direction, but we don't have a thus saith the Lord. We don't have the Holy Spirit giving us guidance otherwise. Then, like Paul, we should follow that determined path where God is leading. Now, with Paul, he followed that path. They tried to persuade him otherwise. not only here in Ephesus, but others along the route would try to talk to him and persuade him to change his mind to not go to Jerusalem, because they knew from what the Holy Spirit had been revealing. They knew from the conditions of the situation in which they found themselves that for Paul to go to Jerusalem would mean that he would no longer be available to minister to them. He'd no longer be available to teach them. And the one who they had relied upon would not be there. But what does Paul say? He says, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So Paul had two things that he wanted to accomplish. Two things that he said, this is what I have on my list of things to do before I die. I want to finish my course with joy. And I want to finish the ministry that I've received of the Lord Jesus. It's two things that were before him. I wonder about you and I. You know, some of us are young and we have many things before us and many opportunities before us if the Lord tarries. Some of us are getting older. What is our objective as we look towards the end? Finishing our course with joy? Finishing the ministry that has been given to us? That's what Paul's objective was to finish his course with joy and to finish the ministry he'd received of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as you look back over life, sometimes you see periods of time when the Lord gave a certain opportunity, and it was like a little ministry or a little activity that you had in service for him, and it lasted for a certain period of time, and then it was eliminated, or something happened, you moved on to another place, or whatever the situation may be, and that ministry was finished. Can we look back on it and say it was completed? Did we do as much as we could have? You know, we think about the Ukrainian outreach. They're here for a little while now. We don't know how long they're going to be here. Will we complete our ministry to them? We think of the Hutterites as a ministry to them. Will that ministry be completed? We have certain opportunities, and we have the opportunity to finish our ministry. As the Lord gives us strength and as the Lord gives us life, we have opportunities to finish our course with joy as the Lord gives us strength and gives us life. And that was his ambition, to do what the Lord Jesus Christ had given him to do, and that was to testify of the grace of God that was given through the gospel, through the good news of the Lord coming into this world and giving his life for sinners. So then he's ready now to, he's got their attention. In the next verse, he really gets their attention. And then he moves from himself to giving the responsibilities to the elders who are in Ephesus. But note how he says that he has gone preaching the kingdom of God. They've heard his preaching. And all of those in Asia that he has come amongst and he has taught, they would see his face no more. Those are sad words, that they were not going to see his face again. This would be the last time he'd be with them. The last time they'd have a face-to-face discourse about serving the Lord. And that he says, wherefore I take you to record this day, I am pure of the blood of all men. Wonderful thing to be able to say that. He had gone from city to city. He'd gone witnessing of what God had done. He'd gone preaching the gospel. And nobody could say, nobody ever told us the gospel. Nobody came to our city and brought the gospel to us. Well, Paul had come, preached faithfully. And then he moved on to another city, and he moved on to another city. Often he moved on because he was persecuted in one city and he had to move to another city. The Lord was moving him on. The Lord was directing his pathway. So he said, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. He had been faithful. And now he says, you elders in the church of Ephesus, you're to be faithful. You're to carry on and to give the word of God. And in whatever conditions come, after my departing, grievous wolves will enter in among you and so forth, not sparing the flock. So your responsibility is to stand for the things of God and to make sure that the sheep are not scattered as they move on through their lives for the Lord. Come down to verse 33. Again, he's talking about the things that motivated him. He said, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. He wasn't looking for riches. He wasn't looking for gifts. He wasn't looking for money or support. He was doing this out of a commitment to the Lord. And he says, you know that I've taken my hands and I've also done work in order that money would come in and I'd be able to support others who were in the Lord's work. And so he had labored to support the weak, and he wanted them to remember the words of the Lord, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I don't know where this is found in the Gospels. I don't remember it in the Gospels. But here's Paul, and he's saying, this is what the Lord said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And that's something that we should remember. Remember with our time, remember with our resources, remember in our service for the Lord, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And finally, he kneels down and he prays with them, and they all weep sore as they show Paul their love and affection. And Paul leaves for the last time, not to return to Ephesus again. May the Lord bless these simple thoughts to our hearts, and that we might learn a little bit from the commitment of the Apostle Paul as to how the Lord would have us serve him.